you're a California conservative, a libertarian, a moderate Democrat, believe in common sense, or just a sane person, this is the political podcast for you. It's the California Underground Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the California Underground Podcast. I am your host, Phil. And as always, with me, my trusty co-host, the best and fastest researcher in the West, Camille. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Tonight is going to be a pretty wonky episode. So apologies if you're not one of those people who don't like wonky episodes. Apologies right off the bat. We're sorry about that.
I also apologize. Yes.
Yeah. Apologies on that. But yeah, it's going to be a little wonky. It's going to be a little Schoolhouse Rockish in terms of what we're going to be going over and what we're going to be talking about. And it's the budget. It's the California state budget. What happens? Told you that before we hopped on, I said Winnie might be a little bit of a problem tonight. She's a little on edge tonight. I don't know what's going on. Oh, because there's all these people out. She's people watching.
I don't think anyone would be offended if you just had her on your lap or get her own chair.
If she was just sitting next to me?
And then every so often she, you know, you just pet her.
Yeah, she just
saw
a person.
That might actually
by.
Get you more views.
If Winnie was on the podcast all the time. Yeah. So apologies to people. She's a little antsy right now. She keeps seeing people and barking at everybody. Maybe she's just upset about the budget, because there's a lot of money that's being spent. They finalized the budget. It went into effect on July 1st. We're going to talk a little bit about the whole process. That's the Schoolhouse Rock part of this. Then we're going to talk about some of the highlights of this, basically what is going on, where the money is going to and all that. And, you know, also compare it maybe to other states that don't have personal income tax and talk about the differences. And I think that will probably be enough. If you're a wonky person, that's probably enough. If you're not a wonky person, this might be a good episode for you to kind of get an introduction to the California state budget. So you can actually tell people, hey, this is where we're spending all our money. We're not cutting here. We're spending here. Who's getting a tax break? You'll have to find out. It's not an industry that is particularly helpful to a lot of Californians or very important to a lot of Californians. But when you hear about it, it'll make sense. So you have to tune in and find out which one is getting a huge tax cut. It's not us. We're not getting a huge tax cut. First things first. Do you know how a budget gets to be passed in California?
You did the reading.
So you actually, I read,
I'm coming here and I'm just going to be honest that this is not a subject I understand, and I'm trying to understand it. As much as I researched it. So I'm just counting on you. Just get me through this episode. Okay, thanks.
All right. So basically what happens is it starts in January. The governor makes a proposal, his budget proposal. So Newsom made his budget proposal back in January. He predicted that it would be a deficit of $22.5 billion. That's much larger than it is now, obviously, because of how things have progressed. So that's the baseline. He sends it to the legislature. Now, the legislature is comprised of the Assembly and the Senate, not the House and the Senate. We're not talking about Congress. This is your state legislature. It's the Assembly and the Senate. Now, in March and April, this is when all the backroom deals are getting made. This is when legislators and interest groups start to get involved and they start to make changes and they start to figure out what they like and what they don't like. They're making backroom deals. For example, according to this article, Senate Democrats proposed, shocking, hiking corporate taxes by more than 2 percentage points. That way they could avoid making any cuts to the budget. And Newsom, to his credit, actually shut down the idea of any tax increase. So there would be no new tax increase.
Nice presidential move then.
Presidential. We've been talking about it a lot. Last week we talked about President Newsom waiting in the wings. Go listen to that episode, episode 216. Then he gets to do it again. He makes revisions to his budget in May. He then updated and said we're $31.5 billion deficit. And the Legislative Analyst Office, which is an office that looks at the budget and gives you a bipartisan or nonpartisan, I should say, analysis of the budget, estimated that the deficit would be at $34.5 billion. Mm-hmm. Then finally, we get to June, which last month, now the Senate and the Assembly start to make their adjustments. They figure out what they're voting on. They figure out what can we come together on. And all the way up until basically July and the end of June, they come up with their conclusion, what the budget's going to be. They all have to ram it through. Do we agree? Great. Heads to the governor's desk. And the governor actually has incredible power in California where he can just veto the entire budget. So governor actually has a lot of power in terms of making the budget. I would say it's a lot less than in DC, where the president can propose a budget. He can say, I want these things, but basically the House can just kind of go, screw you. We don't care what you want. We're just going to do our own thing. So the governor does have a lot of power in terms of what gets passed, what gets in the budget, what he wants. And also the veto pen is really powerful because he can threaten to veto the whole thing and it could just blow up the whole government. Because if there is no budget passed, there won't be any way to pay for any obligations or anything. So
I kind of agree with that, since although California is so big, but I think you and I are both on the same, technically the governor is considered smaller government in comparison to the whole United States. However, we have a very self-interest, tyrannical type governor. So it's stressful, but I kind of do believe in the governor should have those rights. You just want a good one who is actually passing things for the people, not for his own selfish interest in tiny little groups.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, like it says, the interest groups do get involved after the governor sends in his budget. So the fact that he can kind of stamp down those interest groups does say a lot. I mean, let's say hypothetically, let's go back in time to 2021. It was 2021, right? The recall. Let's say just a Republican candidate wins. They're the recall. The following year, they would only have 1 year, but the following year, they would have a lot of power with the veto power to make a lot of cuts and concessions with the California state budget. So just 1 year of a Republican governor can make a huge difference because they are so involved with the process, and that Republican governor would get to put a budget forward to the legislature. They get to talk about it. He would say, I'm not budging on this. You're not raising taxes. We're going to cut a whole bunch of things. So governor does have a lot of power, which is, I guess, sort of a counterbalance to the legislature here in California, which is so dominated by interest groups. It is a nice little counterbalance, but when they're both on the same side, it's kind of hard to really get anything substantial done. Although Newsom did get a lot of flack for stuff in this budget. And I think that's, again, we're of the whole mindset that Newsom's going to run for president. He'll probably be the candidate in 2024. If not, he is at least laying the groundwork to be a presidential candidate down the line. So a lot of the stuff he did piss off a lot of his core base and stuff like that. We're going to talk about it. But he did have to make some tough decisions and tough concessions. So let's see. What's the next thing we should talk about? Oh, all right. So everyone's clear on how a budget becomes, it becomes our budget, how it actually gets passed, right?
Yes, okay. I am now. Thank you.
All right. So this is from the LAO, the Legislative Analyst Office. This is basically the nonpartisan group that looks at the budget and gives you an idea of what's happening. This is the 2023-2024 budget, California's fiscal outlook. Let me see. I'm just going to scroll down. So the biggest issue right now is that the economic conditions are weighing on revenues, which is what a lot of people are saying. So a lot of people are saying, well, why, how did we go from a surplus to a huge deficit? Probably it's most likely due to the fact that, one, a lot of California's revenues does revolve around how well the economy is doing. It also revolves around how well the stock market is doing. Pre-COVID, there was probably a good amount of people still paying in. There's a good amount of personal income tax revenue. So we probably ended up with a budget or a budget surplus. I believe that COVID had a little bit to do with that budget surplus. A lot of states all of a sudden had these huge surpluses. We're not going to get into that, but I suspect that's maybe why we had such big surpluses. And then all of a sudden it turns around. Now we have $34.5 billion deficit projected. So economic conditions really do weigh on California's revenues. And it says here, facing rising inflation, the Federal Reserve, tasked with maintaining stable price growth, repeatedly has enacted large interest rate increase throughout 2022 with the aim of cooling the economy and in turn slowing inflation. Higher interest rates dampen economic activity by increasing borrowing costs for more home buyers, consumers, and businesses, as well as depressing the value of riskier assets like stocks. Let's see. Inflation pressures remain. While there's slowdowns in some areas of the economy have not yet spread more broadly, similar historical episodes have ended in recessions. The longer inflation persists and the higher the Federal Reserve increases interest rates in response, the greater the risk to the economy. The chances that the Federal Reserve can tame inflation without inducing a recession are narrow. It's a nice bleak outlook. So, all right, I'll take a step back. I'm not trying to get too wonky in terms of what's going on right now. The Federal Reserve inflation, we talked about before. You go to the supermarket, eggs are $8 a dozen, milk is $6, everything's out of control. You're going, I spent $100 and I went home with bread, eggs, and milk. Inflation's out of control. So what the Fed is trying to do is increase interest rates, which forces people to hold on to their money, maybe save money, not take out so many loans, slow the economy a little bit, kind of cool it down. But it's very, very hard to do. Right now, there's a lot of economists thinking that we're kind of on the edge of a recession. This legislative analyst office is saying that it's very likely, it's very narrow, that we're not going to be able to avoid a recession. And that's just a tip of the iceberg. It goes on to say, were a recession to occur soon, revenue declines in the budget window are very likely would be more severe than the outlook. So basically what they're saying is right now, California, as it stands in their financial picture, we're at a $34.5 billion deficit. And that's assuming, best case scenario, we don't have a recession. That's the best case scenario.
Whew.
So imagine if there is a recession. All of a sudden, the projections are going to be way worse. What that does for the budget, it's pretty crazy. So yeah, they're basing it on the best case scenario. They have not made this to believe that what their recommendations or what their outlook is based on if there's a recession. It's based on if there is no recession. And right now, because of the Fed and the interest rates, and their belief that it's very hard to kind of tame inflation through interest rates, it's very unlikely that we won't avoid a recession.
Right.
So in case that there is a recession, that deficit could double, could be more, we could be talking about $50 billion deficit, $60 billion deficit. In a state that already spends a crap ton of money, $60, $70 billion deficit. Why is that important? Because you can't, as a state, run a deficit and you can't have a lot of debt. This isn't like the U.S. federal government where you can run an enormous federal deficit and you can take on a whole bunch of debt and trillions of dollars in debt. States can't do that. And in fact, the state constitution requires the legislature to pass a balanced budget. As a result, if earlier in the process the state faces a budget problem, the legislature must solve the problem using a combination of tools. In a recession, the main tool for solving a budget problem is the state's reserve. If the reserves are insufficient to cover the budget problem, however, The legislature must take other actions to bring the budget into balance. These actions include reducing spending, increasing revenues, and/or shifting costs, for example, between funds, time periods, or entities of the government. So, based on that outlook, I'll pose you the question. Do you think this is a good outlook financially for California, or does this look kind of bleak?
I'm sorry, it looks bleak.
And why would you say that?
Well, it already feels bleak based on, you know, talking about going to the grocery store and all of a sudden $100 and you've got only four items. And now we do have this deficit that's just kind of projected and they don't know what's going to happen if we go into recession, and we're probably going into recession. My husband was actually telling me about a story he heard just today. He was telling me about Costco. The CEO of Costco, based on patterns, believes we're going into a recession because when we have previously gone into a recession, the buying patterns of what people do and what they're buying and what they're not buying. And we're in that pattern again of exactly what happens right before a recession of when they're not buying like the big ticket items and they're just buying the basics. And so he believes we're going into a recession based on that. And I know it's not a guarantee, but I feel like we've been in talks of this for a while. And I think I mentioned to you, it feels like we're just like bleeding money over here. And we're like, well, what are we even buying? And nothing's changed. It's just like, this is California. And people can't afford to give raises. Inflation has gone up.
And this is one of the problems when you spend so much and you're kind of teetering on the edge and you're already flirting. Well, you already have a $34.5 billion deficit. And again, that's best case scenario. You're crossing your fingers and your toes and watching CNBC every day going, dear God, I hope we don't have a recession, because if so, it's going to be a catastrophe for California, because we've gotten to a point in California where so many people have their hands out. And we're going to talk a little bit about it. It's the different competing groups. They all want money. They all don't want their budgets cut. They don't want to see any reduction in spending on their part. For example, like one of our favorites, the state senator, Scott Wiener, his whole thing was that the Bay Area public transit is basically teetering on the edge of collapse. So obviously it's the state's job to bail them out. So what happens if there's a recession and all of a sudden the state can't afford to prop up the public transit anymore? Does public transit go under? Does that stop working? Jobs stop happening? People can't get to work now? Like, it does become like this cascading effect in California where what happens? Who's on the chopping block when recession does happen here? Which it does seem like it's more likely than not. Even this LAO report is saying that looks like it's more likely than not. And that's the problem when you're kind of teetering on the edge and you spend so much damn money. It's like anything. It's like your personal budget. If you spend to the absolute max of all the money you're bringing in every month, and then all of a sudden your car loses a tire or something, all of a sudden you're like, ah, crap. How do I pay for this tire? It becomes that issue. You know, like you can't live to the absolute max of your budget.
Yeah, I feel like California has been leading up to this for a while. Like there's been budget issues for years, but then I think it kind of feels like with the COVID surplus money, they got a little too excited and weren't thinking ahead of this money could go away. We're not going to get this every year. And so it was like, they were all excited to go. It's like when someone gets a bonus and they're like, "Ooh, we get to do all the things that we never got to do now, but the bonus only goes so far." And then you do all these things and your spending increases and all of a sudden the following year, you don't have that bonus. And then you're like, wait, how do we were spending X amount on groceries and this and that and like vacations, but all those things now you don't have the budget for it. And it feels like California kind of did that.
It's the Clark Griswold problem from Christmas Vacation where he's counting on the budget to build his pool and then the budget doesn't come. And then he already has a down payment on the pool. Let's see. Oh, there's so much to get to. I want to try and get to as much as possible.
Well, can we talk about, you mentioned the reserves, the budget reserves.
Right.
Do you want to talk about that and what we have in the reserves? Do you know? I feel like I sent you a link, yes, but I don't know if I did.
Because you sent me the link. So I have it right in front of me.
Can you talk about it?
Sure. So again, like the LAO said, which is if there is a problem and all of a sudden there's a recession, that they can pull from these reserves. So it's kind of like a savings account. The state has money put aside. This is from the California Budget and Policy Center. How much money is in the state's budget reserves? At the end of February 2023, there's $37.2 billion in four state budget reserves. The budget stabilization account, $23.3 billion. Public school system stabilization account, $9.5 billion. Special fund for economic uncertainties, $3.5 billion. Safety net reserve, $900 million. So I imagine these budgets are set there, and they're sort of like if something happens, like a recession does happen, that they can just move money from the reserves and just put it in there and just move money into, and that's really kind of the point. And they have it set up for the budget for public school. This is something I learned as well about the California budget, is this thing called Prop 98, which was passed back in the late 80s. And it basically requires a minimum amount percentage wise of the budget has to be spent on education. In reality, there's the budget, and then Prop 98 makes you create another little budget that is required, and you can't really screw with that amount. So that's why a lot of public education money is kind of pushed off to the side. It's its own little category, which is why I imagine they have a public school system stabilization account. Let's see. Let's see. So it gives this nifty little graph that you sent me. And it does say, for example, is the state required to make an annual deposit in the budget stabilization? Yes. Public school? No. Safety net reserve? No. Special fund for economic certainties? No. When can funds be withdrawn? Funds may be withdrawn. This is the budget stabilization. Funds may be withdrawn if the governor declares a budget emergency. The legislature passes a bill by majority vote to withdraw funds for public school. Funds may be withdrawn if the governor declares a budget emergency and the legislature passes a bill by majority vote to withdraw funds. Safety net, the legislature may vote to withdraw funds at any time. And special fund for economic uncertainties, the legislature may withdraw the funds at any time by majority vote. Is there a limit on the amount of funds that can be withdrawn for budget stabilization? Is the only one that has restrictions. The amount can be withdrawn is limited to the lower of the amount needed to address the budget emergency or half the funds in BSA, unless the funds have been withdrawn in the previous fiscal year, in which case all the funds remain in the BSA may be withdrawn. So that's where we are at in terms of budget reserves, how much we're spending. Let's go to the next thing. And I think this is important. I kind of want to bring this up for people to see on screen. I have to make sure I pick the right one. This is not it. I have 1,000 tabs open right now. So bear with me if I can talk amongst yourself. Here we go. This is for 2023. This is the May revision to the governor's budget. What we're kind of looking at is this general fund revenues versus expenditures. So we wanted to talk about where is all your tax money going to? Where is it coming from? The first one is obviously personal income tax, which if you live in California, you understand most of money comes from personal income tax. The number is $118 billion. I just learned that tonight when it says it's in millions, you have to add zeros and it becomes $118 billion. Sales and use tax takes in $33 billion. Corporation tax takes in $42 billion. And then there's a couple others that add up a little bit.
This is so much money.
This is a ton of money. So in terms of the
money
in revenues, they said about $209 billion was taken in. keep in mind there is a $300 billion budget. So again, that's where the deficit comes from, is that they don't really know. They got a bridge. How do they get to that money? Expenditures, they spend about $79 billion on K through 12 education, health and human services, $73 billion, higher education, $22 billion, corrections and rehabilitation, $14 billion, and then others. This is another little breakdown. You can see total state funds, total $306 billion. So for a state that's facing a huge deficit that grows, it seems like it grows every time they talk about it. Doesn't seem like they made a lot of cuts.
I thought it was at $41 billion, but then you're talking $34 billion. But yeah, I thought it was like $41 billion.
Yeah, I think it was at $41 billion. It seems like every time they come out, it's a higher number. So now we're at $41 billion. Let's just say $41 billion. as you can see, the largest amount we spend is health and human services. Next, right behind it, is 26.2 K through 12 education. And then a whole bunch of other ones that really don't hit the double digits. But so that's mainly where the bulk of our money goes, is health and human services and K through 12 education.
What is that? I mean, do you know what health and human services is?
Well,
here, can you click on that?
Here's the state funds by department.
Oh.
Health and Human Services Agency. Again, I believe these numbers are in millions, right?
I'm sure.
Yeah, it's not $69,000. But you can see these are all government agencies: Health and Human Service Agency, Department of Health, Department of Managed Healthcare, California Department of Aging, Commission on Aging, California Senior Legislature, Department of Public Health. What's the difference between the Department of Public Health and Health and Human Services Agency? Department of Developmental Services, Department of State Hospitals, California Health Benefit Exchange, Department of Rehabilitation. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. It's just like all these, it just, that's what we're spending on health and human services. State funds by department. Let's see. I want to go back. How do I go back? Here we go. Are you ready to see how much we spend on public education?
Go ahead.
Okay.
My property tax dollars should be coming back to me as a teacher for my own children, but whatever.
You should be getting a rebate. Let's see. Department of Education takes in a whopping 72, I think that's billion dollars. May revision, it's down.
This is K through 12, right?
This is only just K through 12. Yeah, because they have a separate category just for higher education.
Okay.
Summer school for the arts, teachers retirement system contributions, retirement costs for community college. Oh, that actually went way down. School facilities aid program, commission on teacher credentialing, general obligation bonds. So that's what they're spending a lot of money on. State library. What's another one that we can take a little gander at? Environmental protection. It's interesting that in a state like California, environmental protection is only 1.7% of the budget.
And how much is that?
That is total expenditure, looks like about $5 billion.
That is interesting, especially given all the laws that are coming in that will be going into effect in the next few years that have to do with, like, you know, no sales of electric vehicles in the next 10 years. And then even they're making all the trucks, I can't think of the name, you know, all the trucks delivering everything. I think they're making them go electric and stuff. And so it is interesting that only $5 billion is going towards this when there's all these laws that are going to be in place that are going to bankrupt everyone.
Yeah.
And there won't be infrastructure for it.
So 7% of the budget goes to higher education. This is the UCs. University of California takes in $4 billion, almost $5 billion. California State University, almost $5 billion. Retirement costs for higher education. Billions and billions of dollars in retirement.
I'm sorry to sound dumb. It costs money to go to college.
Correct.
Like if I decide to go back to college, I'm going to be paying. Why are they getting so much state money?
I think I talked about this once way back in the old days.
And I apparently didn't listen.
Well, this was back, I think this was on Coffee and California Politics for all the OG fans who remember that. It was the idea that the UCs have broken their promise because it used to be free. And the original reason the UCs were started was one simple reason, free college for everybody in California. That was the whole idea.
Okay.
And it slowly over time went, well, okay, maybe not super free. We do need you to chip in like $200 to help cover costs. And people are like, yeah, whatever, that's fine. And then it like crept up to $1,000 or whatever. Now it's what, like $60,000 to go to a UC? Like it's insane the amount of money that UCs make. You're right. If why are we giving $5 billion to the UC system if they're already raking in hundreds of millions of dollars from tuition alone? Like, where's the rest of that money going? I mean,
yeah,
they have big, beautiful campuses and hospitals and all that stuff.
I was going to say, the infrastructure, like what? I would love to see that.
Yeah.
Where it specifically goes.
I mean, the UCs are just raking in money. So, but they've come a long way.
Yeah, we've heard.
Breaking their promise. Let's see. Are you ready to get into what's exactly in the budget? We've talked a lot about, we've already talked a half an hour about the budget itself, percentages, all of that stuff. Do you want to start talking about what's in the budget and what people should be looking or expecting this year?
Yeah.
Is there anything?
Go ahead.
Is there anything you would like to specifically talk about that jumped out at you?
Well, let's talk about CEQA, because that's always like kind of like a trigger point for us. And didn't, am I wrong? Didn't Newsom kind of like, he's actually trying to get things rushed through?
Yes.
For?
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Which is, again, presidential move. Suddenly it matters.
Yeah, and I was reading an article before that he was getting up, he was getting a lot of flack from environmental groups for, let's see if I solved the article up, because it had a really funny line. Okay, here it is. Oh, no, that's not it. Sorry. Man, I had this up, now I lost it.
I'm just learning so much here.
Darn, I had the article up, and now I lost it. Yeah. I was reading an article, I think it was LA Times, right before, like before when we were doing our prep for the show. He got a lot of pushback because he has been trying to cut the permitting process and make it more streamlined around CEQA, because CEQA, and we've talked about this, causes a lot of problems with building new housing or any sort of new development anywhere in California. And it's gotten to the point where Democrats have sort of created this monster, and now they don't know how to stop the monster.
Yeah.
And like everybody from all over the Democratic political spectrum, from Newsom to Senator Scott Wiener, are all saying, you know, we need to make cuts. We need to reform it. We need to do all of this. But environmentalists have been pushing back on it because they're afraid that by doing so, developments will start to hurt the environment. God, I wish I had the article, because there was such a dumb line in it from environmentalists who were like something about, wait, hold on. I know where it is. It's in the wrong tab. It was
the wrong tab. It just removed itself, but
it was in the wrong browser.
Oh, okay.
It said, we won't rest until all the fish in the state are safe. that was their line.
That's what keeps me awake at night too.
Yeah.
So. I'm just like, you know, I lay my head on the pillow, start to drift off to sleep. And then I think, oh my God, are the fish in California safe today?
Okay. Are the Delta smelt?
Stresses me out.
Okay. The Delta smelt, side note, should be a lesson in Darwinism, which the left loves, because it's a fish that cannot swim. So I'm just gonna leave that there. If a fish can't swim, I don't think we should be stopping everything because a fish can't swim. Sounds like Darwin, natural selection, God, whatever you want to say, has already decided the fate of that fish if it can't swim. So anyway.
What does it do? I need to know more about this. Hold on.
I think it just moves with the current. I honestly think it just kind of moves with the current. But I remember reading that's why, like, in the San Joaquin Basin, there's such an issue about the Delta smelt getting, like, caught up in any sort of irrigation or anything like that. They're like, oh, well, they can't swim, so they get sucked up into the irrigation. And you're like, wait, the fish can't swim? That's why they get caught in the irrigation? Sounds like...
Is there a joke in here somewhere about teach a fish to swim?
Teach a fish to swim. They'll avoid the irrigation all the time. Something like that.
Okay.
But yeah, so moral of the story, environmentalists, and this is what we talked about at the beginning of the episode. He did push back a little bit. Again, I think it's all part of, he's not doing it because he thinks this is what's best for California. I think he's doing it because he's trying to seem more moderate, that he could take on proponents on his own side and he can seem tough against, you know, people who try and bully him. It's all for presidential stuff. But on the topic of climate change and environmentalism, it says a multi-year commitment to battle climate change took a $2.9 billion hit in the final budget announced between news from the legislature. Programs aimed at climate resilience, making the state capable of withstanding some of the impacts of changing conditions, took some of the biggest cuts, losing $964 million. Sustainable agriculture and drought and water resilience also saw cuts. So, you know, when we're complaining that we don't have water, sure.
Uh-huh.
It makes sense. Let's cut more, especially after the rainy year we've had.
We can all die of dehydration and we'll educate the kids, but we're all going to die of, like, environmental hazards because we're not putting the money towards it. So what is even the point? It's nice knowing y'all.
This is a question that probably comes up every year. I think it came up a lot this year when there was a ton of rain all over California and people are going, where's all this rain going? Why aren't we saving this rain? Well, because the legislature decided it's not worth trying to save rain or any drought protection. So they're just going to keep cutting there. So no investments in drought protection, more reduction in cuts in drought protection. So next time there's a rainy year, it'll just all wash away into the ocean. So
we learned nothing.
We've learned nothing. You brought up the zero emission vehicle mandate, $10 billion in programs will help reach the state's zero emission vehicle mandate, remained in the new budget agreement.
10 million?
10 billion. Sorry.
Billion.
10 billion.
You probably said billion. I was just questioning.
I could have said million. These numbers get confusing. Again, I'm not a mathematician. That's why I went to law school. Environmentalists have raised concerns that the reductions would help keep California from meeting its targets for cutting greenhouse gas emissions and other air pollutants. These climate budget rollbacks undercut our state's ability to meet our climate goals, pure and simple. Mary Kreisman, chief executive of the advocacy group California Environmental Voters, said in a statement ahead of the final announced budget, the climate crisis isn't taking a break in 2023. That much is clear, and neither are climate action. Because remember, climate change, there's never an end to how much money you need to spend on climate change. They'll always need more money. Mm-hmm. To make up for the cuts, Newsom said he's seeking federal climate funding from the Inflation Reduction Act, the act that did not reduce inflation. He also asked the legislature to seek voters' approval of a climate bond, ranging from $6 to $16 billion. Okay. PSA for all those listening. Whenever you see the word approve a bond on your proposal,
it's approving a debt.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Okay.
It means
I know something.
It means you're voting for debt. So bond sounds sexy. It sounds nice. We're issuing a bond. We'll pay you guys back. It's debt. So and there has to be interest payments on bonds. So it's not free money. Education. Again, Prop 98 does protect a lot of it. The budget includes a historic 8.22% cost of living adjustment for California's public schools. The total Proposition 98 funding for the 2023-24 fiscal year will be $108.3 billion.
I would also like a cost of living adjustment.
For the fact that you homeschool.
Sure.
Yeah, that makes sense. They're spending $108 billion on public education, and you know, you're saving them money, so they should.
It's true.
They should get a refund.
I'm helping. I'm contributing to smaller class sizes.
Exactly. I guess Newsom's not a fan of the arts and music because he cut $200 million out of the arts, music, instructional materials discretionary block grant.
That's a bummer.
And that's actually the good news because he proposed slashing $1.8 billion. So Newsom, not a fan of arts and music.
Yeah, no, I think that's sad.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a music guy. I think music's a great tool and think kids should learn it. It's always arts and music that get cut first.
Yeah, I don't get that.
This was interesting.
At least they'll learn about not bullying, you know, they can be non-binary and like they're taking the time to teach all that. Don't bully, which okay, I agree with not bullying, but you know, at least school has become that, but
well, you can
no more arts and music.
They'll probably teach you about how to hate yourself because you're a descendant of slave owners or something like that here in California. The budget also includes a $300 million equity multiplier allocated for schools with the highest concentration of socioeconomically disadvantaged students, which includes students from low-income households, students experiencing homelessness, and students whose parents did not graduate high school. So,
I have a great idea. Instead of spending all that money, we could save all that money and just introduce school choice.
I mean, that sounds good to me.
There's fireworks.
I think we should probably have someone like our good buddy Todd Madison back on. He was the proponent of the proposition for school choice last time. Yeah, school choice would solve a lot of these problems, especially talking about socioeconomically disadvantaged students. Studies have been done to show that kids from the inner cities benefit from school choice. Some minorities benefit from school choice because they can get out of the neighborhood. And that doesn't cost the state really anything to do. Equity multiplier gives people the choice to go to the best school where they want to go.
Right.
So that may save billions of dollars, but then
we'll never know.
But you got to think of the teachers. You know, and it more specifically, the teachers union.
I care about the teachers. I don't care about the teachers union.
Right. How would the president of the California Teachers Association afford their fourth home if they're not spending billions of dollars on education in California? Think of the presidents of the unions.
You're right.
So
I apologize.
Yeah. Just, you know, next time think about that. Don't be so selfish.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Let's see. Homelessness, big issue, right? Do you think the state wants to spend more money to solve homelessness because it's become such a big issue?
Yes.
You would think so.
Yes, you would think so. Well, they do love spending money.
Yeah. I mean, they love.
So I would just assume that any of these issues, they'd be like, well, let's spend money. You get $1 million, you get $1 million, everybody homeless gets $1 million.
Right. But it has not gotten more money.
But I'm wrong.
with homelessness on the rise, and I don't know what percentage we've seen homelessness increase in California over the past couple of years, they haven't increased at all. So for someone, and wasn't Newsom the one who was starting to get tough on homelessness? That was his whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and everyone was welcome here. Of course, except for anybody that Ron DeSantis sends here. So I won't be surprised if we start sending Florida a bill to cover homeless issues.
Yeah. That would be a nice political stunt for Newsom, is if he brings a bill to Florida for all the homelessness. But yeah, there hasn't been any increase. I don't know if this also increases, this probably doesn't fall under homelessness, but the CARE court, which we've talked about before, I've heard from the courts and from judges.
Is that already going away?
No, they're still trying to roll it out. But in typical government fashion, it's already behind its deadline. Nobody knows anything. Nobody knows what the heck's going on. Even the judges have no idea what's going on. They haven't even been briefed on what's going on or how this is going to be handled. So,
Real quick, back to the homeless thing. I'm totally okay with them not extending the budget if they can figure out how to actually use their enormous budget that they have to come up with some solutions. Because whatever they're doing is clearly not working, but they have so much money already.
Yeah.
So I think it's okay that the budget hasn't been increased, but now they just like need to get some new people in there who can figure this out.
Right. I think that's one of the biggest criticisms. I think Newsom himself brought it up where he said, again, he acted tough for about 20 minutes and then he backed off when he's upset about the homelessness as well. Yeah, he had talked tough about it and said, I want to get accountability when it comes to homelessness and figure out where all the money is going. But he hasn't increased money and he hasn't decreased money. So there definitely does need to be more accountability because it's still a lot of money. It says it's collectively allocated nearly $21 billion since the 2018-2019 fiscal year. That's a lot of money in just a couple of years. $21 billion. And with 171,000 unhoused residents, California is home to 1/3 of the country's entire homeless population. So, yeah. So no more money going, no more new money going or increase going to homelessness. Status quo. Let's see. What else is interesting that we can talk about? Did you hear about this down payment program, the California Dream for All program?
I probably did, but refresh my memory.
So the Dream for All program was the idea that the state would loan you your down payment for a house.
Oh, yes. Worst idea.
And then at the end, when you sell the house, if you sell it at a gain, they would obviously, you'd take a chunk of that gain and you pay back the state. If not, you still owe the state money. So either way. And I think I brought up how legally, if you loan someone money and you have an interest in a property, therefore you can foreclose because you have a vested interest in that property. Fun fact. Because if you have a loan or lien on a property and it's not being paid, you can go ahead and start foreclosure proceedings to get your money back. So imagine the state having the power to foreclose on your home.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good. Yeah.
So they put aside $300 million. And then in about 11 days, it was already dried up. People rushed to use it.
Yeah, that didn't sound like that would go far.
No, $300 million is not that far.
Property prices.
Newsom.
Even in this so-called recession, it's still insane. Yeah.
Tell me about it. Newsom's early objections, even Newsom objected. He didn't want to re-up it. It said it'll be reinflated with another $200 million. So there you go. $200 million going to more down payments.
So that'll be gone in like five probably. Days.
Medi-Cal, let's see. There's some more. A lifeline for public transit. This is something I want to talk about. The governor legislatures hashed out a plan to help public transit agencies still reeling from plummeting ridership during the pandemic. While Newsom's May budget proposal failed to provide any assistance for transit agency facing a fiscal cliff and delayed $2 billion in construction projects, the legislature rejected that move and proposed an additional $1.1 billion over the next 3 years from the state's cap and trade funds. The deal includes a total of $5.1 billion over 4 years, restoring the full $4 billion for construction and adding $1.1 billion from cap and trade. with complete flexibility for agencies to use the money for operations as well as construction, subject to accountability measures and state oversight. So the state is going to start overseeing. This is mostly for like BART. BART has really taken a huge hit. Our favorite Senator Scott Wiener said public transportation is easy to take for granted, but allowing it to collapse would have been devastating for our state's future. This budget extends a critical lifeline that will help transit agencies maintain services while making critical improvements to cleanliness and safety. Something that's been a big issue with BART. People don't want to ride it anymore because it's gross and dangerous.
Yeah. Right.
Also, he did pass a bill recently, Wiener, and it's temporary. They're going to temporarily raise the tolls at the bridges. So when you cross the Bay Bridge, they're going to temporarily raise it. I think it's $11 now, which is still cheaper than the George Washington Bridge. Last time I crossed the George Washington Bridge, it was $18 to cross the George Washington Bridge, which is just astronomical when you think about how many people cross over the GW Bridge. So between that, this lifeline, I think they're projecting that if they can't turn it around, they have enough money for like the next 4 or 5 years, public transit.
So how long do you think $11 temporary is going to last? I think it'll be $15 in like 4 years.
Oh, forever. It'll be forever.
But it's not ever going to go lower, but certainly it'll go higher.
Oh, but yeah, it'll go higher. But the idea it's temporary that they're going to raise it $1.50. Okay. It's not going to come back down from $1.50. It's not like one day they're going to be like, hey guys, thanks for chipping in. Good job, everybody. We did it 5 years later. Now the tolls got cheaper.
Almost like a trick word. Like this is temporary because in a year we're going to raise it to $11.50. Yeah. Surprise!
It's temporary until we renew it in 5 years. Forever. That increase would yield $180 million annually, which most of which would be required for be used maintaining current service levels, with 10% going towards improvements.
Do you think less people will ride it at the higher rate?
Well, do you think less people would cross the bridges? Because it's the 7 Bay Area bridges are being increased.
Oh, bridges.
Not the ridership.
Sorry.
Is being.
Yeah, got it. Okay. So, yeah, they're.
So the question should be, do you think it would force more people out of their cars onto public transit?
Walk. Maybe that's the trick.
Maybe. Maybe they're trying to price people out of their cars.
Yeah. And then it's like, look, we're saving the environment.
It's so much nicer to take this Bay Area Rapid Transit, isn't it? Don't mind the homeless person crapping over there in the other side of the train. Let's see. I'm trying to say. Oh, James Gallagher had a statement on it. He said, California's mobile homeless shelters, drug dens, formerly known as public transit, are getting a bailout. I'd agree.
Right.
One of my favorite things is to troll Senator Wiener on Twitter.
I've noticed.
It's always fun. I think there's a lot of people who love to troll him now. But it's amazing they just don't understand the market in the free market, which is, what did he say? He had this tweet where he goes, ridership is back to 2/3 of what it was pre-pandemic, which put another way means ridership is still down 1/3 from pre-pandemic levels, which is a lot of people. And the,
wasn't it reverse? Maybe I'm wrong. Was it? It's still down 2/3, but okay, sorry, maybe I'm totally
either
wrong.
Way. He was trying to say it's up.
I saw you comment and I thought you were like, so in other words, 2/3. I'll be quiet. You go ahead.
Either way, he was still bragging about the fact that public transit is down 1/3, from what it was pre-pandemic. And it's been long enough that people are not coming back to transit.
Right.
Which shows that the product itself is not necessary for a lot of people if they can avoid going on public transit. It's not desirable for a lot of people. People are not choosing transit over taking a car or some other form of transportation. So the fact that they're just like, well, I don't know why this is happening. We need a bailout. It's like, maybe take a step back and examine why your product is crap and no one wants to use it. But that's not the...
He loves it. That's why he doesn't understand. Like, that is his, it's his favorite thing in the world to go on there half clothed and post photos.
That and contributions from big real estate. Those are his two favorite things. Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
But yeah.
And kids that are not
here. Exactly. And talking about somebody else's kids, not your own. I mean, he doesn't even have kids. So. Yeah. But yeah, it's always interesting that they just don't understand the market in the sense of like, hey, your government program is crap. It's not getting any better. Mm-hmm. People are not choosing to use it. Your solution should not be, let's run to Sacramento and ask for more money to tide us over. It should be, let's take a hard look at what the hell's going on here and figure out how to make it better. But the government doesn't do that. So,
No, they need to learn to cut their losses too. Like certain things get proposed and they work out and they serve their time, but time moves on and things change and it's no longer a benefit and it needs to be, we need to not keep throwing money into it. It's just.
Yeah. And it's obvious in addition to obviously the danger and public safety issue of BART, there's obviously the issue that San Francisco itself is slowly dying. It's in a doom loop. Actually, I heard it described better. A loop comes back around to the same place. San Francisco's in a doom spiral, meaning it's going down. But no one's going to work in San Francisco anymore. You know, you took out thousands and thousands of companies of people who work there. Companies are gone. So there's just no demand to even go on BART anymore. So that's a big systemic problem. So how are you going to fix the fact that there's nobody working in San Francisco with more money from the government? It's like you're just throwing money at bad investments. It doesn't make sense anymore.
Right. BART is the Band-Aid, but there's like an actual health issue that needs to be dealt with.
Exactly. Yeah. There's bigger issues and they should be focused on why San Francisco is dying and how to get more people back into San Francisco, which I saw today that London Breed is now proposing tax cuts for businesses to come back to San Francisco, which
that's cute.
I'm surprised she didn't start melting like the Wicked Witch. She was like, tax cuts. Oh no, I'm melting. That must have hurt for her to even say that, to come out of her mouth to talk about tax cuts for businesses. But yeah, so they're throwing some money at public transit. They're going to raise the tolls. They're going to try and save it. Wiener wanted a lot more. Wiener didn't get it. So, but again, this could be an issue. If the recession happens and it's a really bad recession, what's going to get cut? We may end up seeing. Now, I wanted to save this. Maybe this is a good way to end it. I had alluded to the fact that there is an industry in California that is getting a tax cut / credit. Do you think you can guess what industry is going to get preferential tax treatment in California?
I don't. I'm sorry.
It's one of California's oldest industries. One it's well known for.
So what are the comments guessing?
No one in the comments is guessing. It's good old Hollywood. Hollywood.
Oh, okay. Yes.
It says in this year's budget agreement, there's a tax credit for movie studios. Starting in 2025, any film industry employer that receives the credit would also have to hire or assign a safety advisor to perform a risk assessment and be present during production. So this is obviously after the whole Alec Baldwin thing where he shot the girl and she died. Among other provisions, productions would have to conduct a daily safety meetings, and those with firearms would need to have a prop master or armorer with a permit from the California Department of Justice. So you'd actually have to get as much permitting as someone who just wants to carry a firearm. the tax credit would also be.
They always get all the, like, remember during COVID, restaurants weren't allowed to be open and serving in their parking lot, but they would come in and take over the lot for like a movie studio, and that was okay.
Right.
Like there, I don't know if you remember, there was like the viral video about the woman just crying because they came and told her, we need this space. You aren't allowed to serve people inside your restaurant. And now you can't be outside your restaurant because we need to film a movie or set up like a tent for, you know, their food or whatever it was. But she's like crying. She's like, why do they get this? Why does Hollywood get these benefits? They're like one of the richest industries. How about their union gives them a cut, a break?
Because it's Hollywood. Because it's one of the glamorous industries in California.
It's not glamorous anymore.
And the funny thing is, most filming's really not even done in California anymore. It's all done in Georgia. So,
yeah,
it's exactly. not like the olden days where you'd go up to, you know, Burbank and you check out this Warner Brothers studio, and that's where they'd all be hanging out. It's like that, movies are all over the place now.
Too many homeless people to deal with. They don't have space anymore, and they would have to go in and clear thousands of homeless people, and that would take too much money and effort.
So the tax credit would also be...
I don't understand.
Sorry, go ahead. Okay, the tax...
No, I just don't understand their reasoning.
Because they love their celebrity buddies. Not a tax credit for you or me, not the hardworking average citizen, not a tax cut for us. A tax credit...
Very hard as a
for
mom.
The tax credit for the movie industry. It would also be refundable starting in 2025, meaning film studios that receive a large credit but have a small tax bill will be able to get cash back. Wow. That's a change the film industry has been lobbying for, and they got it. The credit would have incentives and requirements aimed at increasing diversity in the film industry workforce. A little less than half of all film industry jobs in the country are located in or around Los Angeles. A slight decline from a decade ago. So it's not even that big of an industry anymore.
No.
So, all right. I think we have a couple minutes. I do want to discuss this real quick because you had sent this as well. I think this is important to show people. And then we will end our wonky episode for the evening. I hope everyone got enjoyment out of this. I hope it was enjoyable that people understood what was going on and have a little bit better idea.
Oh, yes, this.
So this is comparing California and Florida budgets for 23 and 24. Both overall and per capita, Florida spends far less than California. Further, it's not clear that California state government provides much incremental value to its residents for all its extra spending. This is a figure, California and Florida state spending. This is obviously the amount that they're spending, general fund, 225, other state funds. So around, again, 300 billion, federal funds, 135 billion. Florida only 46 billion, other state funds, 31 billion. So these two alone don't even add up to a small fraction of how much the general fund of California is. Mm-hmm. And then they only get $39 billion in federal funds, which is interesting because don't they say that red states take more in federal funds than blue states? Isn't that their argument? They always say, yeah. Oh, those red states are always taking more in federal funds than blue states. This is in a graph of California and Florida state per capita spending. We see that on a per capita basis, California state government spends about double the amount Florida does. Since states must balance their budget, the main reason California can spend far more than Florida is that the Golden State has a personal income tax. Florida, by contrast, is mostly reliant on sales and excise taxes for its non-federal revenue. But it's not clear that California is getting much more additional bang for the extra bucks it is spending. Standardized test scores reported by the National Assessment of Educational Progress show Florida equaling or exceeding California. In one extreme example, Florida ranked fourth among states in mathematics at the fourth grade level, while California ranked 38th. So, going back to our pie chart in the beginning, the second most we spend on is K-12 education, and it's 38th in mathematics. So good job, California. At the end of the day, California knows one solution. Spend more money.
Yeah.
In face of deficits, spend that we don't way have. More money. So that's basically it. I think we did a good job covering everything.
You did a good job. I just made comments.
I tried my best. Maybe we'll get an assemblyman or a state senator, member on, state senator on, to talk about this more and give us a better idea. But that gives you an idea. $300 billion is what they're budgeted for. The LAO outlook is bleak. I would say I think they're expecting a recession is going to happen. When the recession does happen, if it's really bad, it's really going to put a hurting on the budget. And they're going to have to make some serious cuts. And I think California is already kind of teetering on a bad position right now. And we'll see what happens in the rest of the year. Oh, and in September, yeah. I forgot to add, this is why we get all those bills in September and October. These are the trailer bills that they add on at the end. So
I was going to ask you about that, actually, because those have not been officially signed yet.
Right. So let's go. I'm going to go right back to this. My little handy chart.
Isn't there like 10? I think.
Yeah. September 14th is the deadline for the legislature to pass any bills. That mean any leftover budget trailer bills, follow up bills that flesh out specific programs in the main budget must be approved by that date. Amendments to the budget are in bills referred to as budget bill juniors, which can also include trailer bills. Critics say that too many major policies are determined in these trailer bills without sufficient review. And then Newsom has a month to sign or veto. So
okay.
That's why there's still bills coming through between October and September. But there's still bills coming through anyway because they pass bills and they go into effect the next year. So, mm-hmm. All right. Any final thoughts on the budget? Do you think California is spending its money wisely?
No, I don't think that California is spending its money wisely.
I would agree with that.
If programs were working, like if we were actually seeing our education was off the charts doing well, if we were coming up with solutions for homelessness, if we had lower taxes, then I would say, great, things are working. You know, if food was affordable, if gas was affordable, if housing was more affordable, then yeah, I would say, okay, these programs are working. Right. Our roads. We always talk about our roads. Our roads are still not fixed.
Where is that gas tax money going to?
And then we're happy to pay the cost on our cars from the wear and tear.
Well, it's like I like to say, if progressive policies worked, California would be a utopia. And I think we're far from that. So
sure.
They've proven you can spend all the money you want on this stuff. It hasn't changed anything.
Literally. So, you guys know how much $300 billion is?
A lot of money.
Can't even imagine. $300 billion.
Yeah. It's 308,000 times a million, as I learned.
Thank you. So, thank you. That narrows it down.
308,000 times a million. All right. So that's our budget episode. I don't know what else to say. It's a lot of money, and it's scary.
Good job. I understand it a lot better, so you did very well. Because I literally told you before we went on, I was like, I still don't understand this.
Yeah,
I don't know what's going on.
I tweeted out the other day and I got some love and some people were like, I don't think this is a good idea. I was like, you know what? If California Republicans want to be bold, you take a look at that chart and go, they're bringing in $118 billion in personal income tax. Why don't you just campaign on getting rid of income tax in California?
Oh,
you know,
no one's tried that.
Why not just say that? Like, you never know. You gotta be bold. What are you going to propose otherwise? Incremental tax cuts here and there that don't really make a difference. Like, you got to starve the beast effectively here in California. And if you take out personal income tax, I mean, the argument kind of fades itself. You'll get someone who says, well, you can't not tax people. How are you going to pay for the roads? Gas tax. Isn't that what we're paying the gas tax for? Like, right. We pay a tax on everything else that has a purpose. So
everybody,
so
It goes up, what, every July 1st? It increases. Yeah. So it just went up.
Roads, I don't see are getting any better. But yeah, call me crazy. I think California Republicans should make that a big platform. Just go for it. Swing for the fences. Attract attention. Say, you know what? Let's get rid of the income tax. Let's bring people back. People will come pouring back into California. Invest in the, you know, invest in here, buy houses, do all that. So just a thought. Anyway, we can talk about that another time. All right. Thanks everyone for watching. Thanks for tuning into our Schoolhouse Rock episode of the budget for 2023-2024. If you like to support this show, make sure you like, share, subscribe, review, all that stuff. The best way to support this show, if you know someone who is a wonk who wants to know more about the budget, send it to them, whether it's YouTube, Rumble, Spotify, whatever you want to send it, how you want to send it to them, go ahead and share it with them. Yeah, make sure you always hit the subscribe button. We're on Rumble now. Hit the notification bell so you know when we're going live, when we post new videos. We post video clips now throughout the week. So if you don't want to sit through the whole podcast episode, that's fine. We're posting smaller clips so you can enjoy that. And that's basically it. Have a good night, everybody. Later.
Thank you for listening to another episode of California Underground. If you like what you heard, remember to subscribe, like, and review it, and follow California Underground on social media for updates as to when new episodes are available.